Hello and welcome. It's the pleasure of Power to Change to present Family Life Today each week, Monday through Friday at this time. We'd love you to contact this station and tell them how much you appreciate hearing Family Life Today. Well, let's get started on today's edition.
All right, Ann, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
You think it's helpful for people to look back at their childhood and think, my parents did the best they could? I want to answer that for our kids. If they're listening, yes, you should do that.
I think that that's a good thing, but I don't think we all come to that realization quickly. Like now, at this age, I can say my parents did the best they could. But I think a lot of us go through a phase that we see ourselves as being broken and we think, whose fault is that? Oh, I know, it's my parents' fault. And so I think we can blame them or blame our past circumstances on different things or people. But I think that's a grace statement. My parents did the best they could.
Yeah, and I think it takes time, healing,
maturity,
and maturity to get to that point. I honestly think almost every child we did goes through that sort of journey in their 30s.
Me too.
It may happen in their 20s, yeah. But for us, it was in their 30s. I started questioning everything about my childhood, and it took some time to get to a point where, you know what? It was pretty broken, you know, divorce, blended family, but they did the best they could.
Yeah.
And again,
I hope our kids will say they did the best they could.
Yeah.
Because we did.
Say the same thing. So why do we bring that up? Because today we're going to listen to a portion of a Family Life Blended podcast with Scott Kadersha and Ron Deal.
Scott grew up in a blended family. He's the marriage pastor at Harris Creek Baptist Church in Waco, Texas. He's also authored two books for engaged couples, including Ready or Not, spelled K-N-O-T, and he co-hosts the popular marriage podcast, More Than Roommates.
And I would say, okay, if you're not in a blended family, don't turn it off. Because, you know, sometimes you can think that it doesn't apply to me. This will apply to you. And I guarantee if it doesn't apply directly to you, you know someone in your life who will be touched by the stepfamily realities eventually. So here's Ron and Scott.
My goodness, Scott, so good to have you with me. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Good to be here with you, Ron. I appreciate you so much and grateful for all the work you do. You are a good friend. It's good to be with friends.
Yeah, thank you. We are like-minded. The more I spend time with you, the more I know you're one of my peeps.
Yes, for sure.
You know, we have the same passion. Speaking of passions, I know one of the reasons you're a marriage pastor is because you want to help children grow up with healthy families. You want them to have a healthy experience of marriage. You want them to have a model, a healthy model of marriage when it comes time for them to start looking for life partners. Did you have a good model for marriage when you were growing up?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really didn't have that growing up. You know, so I grew up in New Jersey.
And the
Northeast. And my mom's name is Diane. She's amazing. She's short, 4'11" and is just the most joyful, fun human being. And she's married to Dennis, my dad. And my dad died. Dennis died when I was young. So when I was 4 years old, he had a massive heart attack. And it turns out he had something called a coarctation of the aorta. The aorta wasn't working right, and so caused all these problems in his heart. And he's out shoveling one day in the Northeast because it snows all the time there, and just had this massive heart attack and really was in the hospital in and out for the next 2 years and then passed away. He was 39 years old when he died.
Wow.
Man. And I was six, one little brother who's 2.5 years younger than me. And so my brother Chris and I grew up in a single parent family home for a few years with my mom. And man, it was, you know, those were tough years for her, really, really tough for her to lose her husband who she loved so much and trying to raise us as two boys in a home without a dad, trying to just pay the bills, get by, figure out how to work and provide and, you know, take care of us. And so I, you know, really grew up largely from the ages of 4 to 10 without, really without a dad in the home, even though they were, you know, my dad was still around for a few years. it was really from the age of 4 through 10 that we were essentially a dadless home because my dad was in the hospital and then passed.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. So I know it's hard sometimes, but I mean, what do you remember during those years, 4 to 10, for you and your brother, for you and your mom, just your family? What was a normal day like?
Yeah, I remember a lot of people coming in and helping. And so we would go home with a friend every day. Hmm. We know it was, in some ways it was really normal. We play baseball and play sports and soccer, and you know, we'd go hang out with family, like extended family. I know there were times that we would go spend time with my aunt and uncle, which probably gave my mom a little break from just the challenges. Mm-hmm. I definitely remember being different than a lot of people around me who had a mom and a dad. And I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. So they were, you know, I knew I was angry. I didn't know who I was angry at. You know, and I know it was sad and hard for my mom. She was so young. She was 33 when my dad passed away. And so
how did grief get handled? I mean, so you remember seeing your mom sad. Do you remember feeling that way? Your brother, did you guys talk about dad once he had passed away? Or, I mean, how did that go?
Yeah, such a good question. The way that emotions were handled is, you know, my mom would say, never let anyone see you cry. And so I remember, you know, two things. One was people saying, you're now the man of the household, and so you're responsible for the home. And, you know, at like 6 years old and 7 year old, someone, and they didn't, there was no like ill intent in that, but just having this weight and responsibility on me. And then mom telling me, don't let people see you cry. Like, don't let people see weakness. We didn't really talk about it. There was no grief counseling, no one to come in and talk to us about it. It was just kind of like, hey, we got, life moves on. We still have school and baseball and bills to pay, and life kind of happens and goes on. And so we never really processed it all.
You know, I'm sitting here, got my family therapist hat on. And when mom says, okay, here's the rule for how to do grief, never let them see you cry. A, she's also telling you how she wants to handle her pain. B, she's telling you, don't let me see you cry. Inadvertently, that's isolating, I would think, isolating you guys from one another and from grieving forward together.
I think what it led to was a lack of depth in our relationship of talking about things that really matter. I love deep relationships and deep conversations, and you know, and I want to know what's going on with people. I've been a marriage pastor for 17 years, and so I'm used to digging deep with people and love going deep myself. And so when I look back on my life growing up, I think my mom did the absolute best that she could. I have no frustration, resentment. It was just I'd say superficial on the way that we communicated about life. And again, I don't blame her. I think she's just trying to get by and figure out how do we pay the bills and get kids to school and sign all the forms and do all the things. And so it was not a malicious thing, but we just never had a depth to our relationship.
Okay, so let's pick up the backstory. So around 10, did something change?
Yeah, so probably, that's a great question. I don't remember how old I was, but I bet I was probably 9 or 10, probably nine. And all of a sudden this guy starts showing up at our house. And his name is Bob. He actually just passed away probably 6 years ago. But my mom started hanging out with Bob and Robert, if you will. And he was a sporting goods rep. He worked as a middleman between a sporting goods company and a manufacturer's and sporting goods store. And so he would start showing up, and he knew how to connect with us. He was really, really great at that. And so he came to take my mom out for a date, and we didn't really know what was going on, but we just knew they were spending time together. He was best friends with our next door neighbors. And so he was divorced, had a son and two daughters who were great, still have a relationship with all three of them to this day. But they start hanging out with each other, and he knew he was great at connecting with us as kids. And so he'd bring a football, he'd bring a frisbee, he'd bring us baseball cards.
And, I was going to say, sporting goods guy, he's got access to all the good stuff.
He did. He knew how to connect. And in fact, kind of a funny story, I'll tell a long story short, but it's important. He would always go to these sporting goods shows. And so, you know, he'd be like the middleman between, call it, Nike and Dick's Sporting Goods.
Okay.
And so Nike would come out with a new product and Dick's would want to sell it. And so he would bring the new product to Dick's, say, here's what it is. You want to buy this number of them and this many stores. And every year they would have these big conventions where all the manufacturers would get together with and just like promote all their new stuff. And so humongous show, like at the Chicago Convention Center and all these big convention centers. And my dad would go to these shows and he would represent the companies, find out what's going on, come back home with like all the things everyone needs to buy at the stores. But the coolest thing is that every show, there are all these famous athletes that were there who represented the company. So if it's 2023, you know, Steph Curry is representing Under Armour and LeBron is representing Nike. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, it was all of the best and biggest athletes. And so he would come home with a stack of signed autographs for me, personalized notes and go like, hey, Scott, I hope you have a great baseball game on Monday.
Awesome.
You know, you're playing the Giants and it would be signed by Pete Rose. You know, I mean, all Marvin Hagler, all the best football players. And over the years, he just did a great job of collecting autographs for us. And it was just his way of building a relationship with us. And so I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but but he's bringing me footballs and baseballs and autographs. And so he must be okay. He did a really good job of building a relationship with us. Now, fast forward, it turns out, and I found out literally in his last days of life, that he forged most of those autographs.
Oh.
So there. So I don't recommend lying to build a relationship with your kids.
Okay, pro tip for the listener and the viewer.
Yes.
Don't lie. Be Don't a genuine lie. Self. You may not remember a moment, and really, I think for a lot of kids, there's not a moment. There's just sort of, I wake up one day and I'm somehow okay with this person in my life. Did that happen for you?
Yes, for sure. And, well, I'd say two things. One along the way, and then one as I look back. Along the way, one thing I saw my dad do really well, stepdad do really well, is the way he loved my mom. And then he, because he was on his own for a few years, he learned to do everything on his own. So he would, he cooked, did laundry, took care of the house, the car, the yard, and vacuumed. There was no job that was beneath him. There was no job that was a woman's job. There was no job that was for her to do and not for me to do. He did everything. And I remember, I mean, that affects me now looking back and seeing, okay, there's not stuff that Kristen does, my wife, and there's stuff that I do. There's stuff that we do. And she might do it more often than me because I have a full-time job where I get paid. She's a stay-at-home mom, works part-time, but we do things together. And so I learned a lot from my stepdad. In that, you know, there's work that takes place in the home and you both do it. And I love that mentality that I grew up with a, you know, we don't need to get into all the whole theological debate of complementarian, egalitarian, all that. I still believe I'm the leader of our home, but we split up the job. It's our work to do together. So I'm very thankful for that. And then I think where the light bulb came on was when I became a follower of Jesus. And I looked back and I said, they messed up at times and they didn't do things perfectly. I really do believe they love us. You know, my mom loves us. My stepdad loved us. They did the best that they could in spite of the challenges of, you know, my stepdad had two new sons to love and to raise. And he still had a biological son and still had two biological daughters. He had the challenges of navigating co-parenting with his ex, who was really, really difficult at times. And he was dealing with the hurts from his three biological children because mom and dad got divorced. And so when I look back, I am just so much more sympathetic and empathetic to the challenges that they walked through. Yeah, they didn't do it perfect. I don't do it perfect. And so I could show some grace and really be grateful and not just focus on all the things that they did incorrectly or could have done better. I think they really did do the best they could.
You mentioned his kids. I'm curious, how was your step-sibling relationship? Were they around your age? How'd that connection go?
Yes, they're all a little bit. So my brother's 3 years younger than me, and then my step siblings are probably anywhere from 5 to 15 years older.
Okay.
And so we never grew up in the same home. They live with their mom, and then my stepbrother was already out of the house by the time they got divorced, but my stepdad and his first wife. So we never lived in the same home together. We spent time together on holidays, and that's it. I would not say we've ever been close.
Okay.
And then I moved away to go to college when I was 18, and I've been away, far away from New Jersey for 32 years now. And so we'll still keep up on social media. We'll still text. And they're great. There's no animosity, no broken relationship or frustration. I would just say we don't have a really deep relationship with each other. But but again, I'm so grateful for who they are and for the relationship we have. It's just not a really deep relationship. I know it could have been a whole lot worse. And I'm thankful just for who they are and the relationships we have.
As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking we've had a number of people write into our ministry and say, okay, we've got, you know, adult children, young adult children, they don't spend a lot of time together. We really want them to think of each other as family. What can we do to fix all that? I always tell them, well, first off, it's not up to you. They have to find their authentic, genuine connections. And some of them will have more interest in developing those relationships than others. Sure. But as somebody who's walked that path, what would you say to a parent who's anxious about it for the stepchildren and step siblings?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say almost exactly what you said, Ron, that you can't force it. You can't make us have a relationship with them. We all have our own lives. We're busy. And again, we were older. It's not like we grew up in the same home together. I think that brings some additional challenges and opportunities that we didn't have. And I'm okay with the level of relationship we have. We're, you know, thousands of miles apart, it would be difficult to maintain a really strong relationship. And so I don't have any heartache over that. And every family is going to be different on what the dynamics look like, how much time they get together. But I know they definitely could not force it to happen, especially given where we all live geographically now.
We've been listening to a portion of the Family Life Blended podcast with Scott Kadersha and Ron Deal. And Ron is now joining us in the studio. So, Ron, first of all, let me say this. Like all parents, Scott's stepdad didn't do everything right.
Yeah.
But he did do some things right.
Yes, he did. And he left a lasting impression in Scott's life because he worked hard to connect. And that's our little rule of thumb, right? Connect before you correct. That's really important for step-parents, especially in the beginning. And he did that, and it made a big difference in who Scott is today.
Well, what about Scott's comment, Ron, just when he said, looking back, his parents did the best they could. Like, is that a good thing for us to do?
Yeah, you know, I do think it is. I think all of us have to, well, you guys said it at the top. You know, we have to grow up to a place where we reflect back on our childhoods and process it in light of who we are now as an adult. And oftentimes, I don't know about you guys, but that for me really happened when I started having children.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking about my role as a dad. That makes me think about my dad. And, you know, that's a good season of life. Mm. Where we look back and consider and think about and process it. The difficulties of our childhoods, I think, really come into light at that point, because now we're trying to make decisions about what am I going to pass on to my kids? Am I going to repeat that same stuff, or what am I going to let go of? And I think that's really important. We get intentional about keeping the good and trying to not repeat what's not so good. Mm. I do want to add this. I think sometimes the looking back, did my parents do the best they could? For some people, that's making an excuse. Hmm. You know, it's sort of like their defenses are up and they just don't want to face some of the painful things that happened to them in their childhood. And so they're giving their parents an out. And this is not so much about letting your parents off the hook. This is about, are you wrestling with the things that are difficult and hard in your life, the things that maybe you need to bring some forgiveness to, and the things that are painful? And if you're just going to write it off and pretend as if that didn't happen, well, then you're really not going to process it well. And here's the irony. I think you're more likely to repeat it with your own children.
Mm-hmm. Give us an example of that, Ron.
Quick-tempered. That's one I wrestled with when I started having children. And all of a sudden, I look back and I go, yeah, you know, my dad had a quick temper. Mm. And he could come out strong. And how did I feel? You know? And then you kind of go, yeah, well, that made me feel small and inadequate. And that's something I've held on to for a long time. Mm. I'm still working on that one right now in my life, as a matter of fact. So am I going to repeat this with my kids? No, I don't want to. I better get a handle on that temper. I better go to work on me. So it's partly looking back. It's not all about blaming them and, you know, sending all this negative thoughts towards your parents. It's not that at all. It's more about, what am I carrying forward and what do I do about it?
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ron. That was a great conversation with Scott and a lot of learnings, even for us today.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Ron. We appreciate all that you're doing.
Thank you.
Did today's episode hit home with you? I'll tell you what, we get it.
Because raising kids can be hard. And sometimes we have more questions than answers.
Yep.
So listen to what we did. We've pulled together some of our most helpful parenting pieces into one spot.
And you can grab your free copy right now. Let me tell you how. Go to familylife.com/parentinghelp. Again, let me say that, familylife.com/parentinghelp, and you'll get some of the best stuff we have on parenting.
We want to thank Dave and Ann Wilson and their team for another edition of Family Life Today. Although our programs are produced in America, the issues facing families like forgiveness, communication, and taking care of our kids transcend national borders. These issues profoundly affect relationships everywhere. In Australia, family life is known as Power to Change, and our mission is to effectively develop godly families, the kind of families that change the world one home at a time. A key part of our mission includes strengthening marriages and families all around the world. We want to do whatever we can to bring timeless truths to the challenges you face as you seek to strengthen your family and join us in changing the world. Do you have more questions on how to develop healthy marriages, how to be a better parent, how to make romance and sex work well, or how to grow spiritually? Check out some articles that will help challenge you to move forward well at our website. Go to families.powertochange.org.au for more information. You're invited back tomorrow at the same time for another Family Life Today presented by Power to Change in conjunction with this radio station.